from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday evening, November the 23rd, 2006. John Boney is the speaker of the evening, teaching on a new ministry invading the house of God.
Well, John Boney is going to conclude this evening. And when we first met John and his wife, they were living in either Wisconsin or Minnesota, up in Illinois. And I don't know what happened, but I think that they had one of those northerners come through there, and it just was more than they could stand. So they went back to Bermuda or the Bahamas or somewhere, and just hold in. They was fed up with all that up there, and we've been having a hard time trying to pry him loose to get back up this far again. But it's been wonderful. And he used to play that piano and just sing heaven down. Anyway, the Boney family, he and his wife, have been here many times in years past, and they've always been a wonderful blessing to us. And I appreciate him coming back again. We thought we had lost track of him, and then all of a sudden he showed up again here on the TV screen. We just said, "When are you coming back?" And he said, "When?" And I said, or Patty said, "Next camp meeting." He said, "Fine with me." So, Brother John Boney, amen, amen.
Well, the Lord bless you. Good to be back here at Lake Hamilton. I feel almost like I'm coming home, eh? I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed with Glenn. Glenn is an amazing man, eh? I thank God for the vision that God gave to Glenn and Irma, to see that vision yet going there. I know this about a purpose. I know the name of the Lord preserves you, but apart from the name, if you've got a purpose that you're pursuing, that purpose preserves you. You notice Paul, God said to him, "You'll preach in Rome." Now, from the moment God told me you're going to go preach in Rome, everything seemed to go wrong. One of the worst hurricanes came, but because he had a word from the Lord and a purpose that he was pursuing, God not only saved him, but everyone with him on the boat was preserved because of the purpose. He went in place making a fire, and one of the most deadly snakes bit his hand. He didn't even have a religious moment. "I bind you in Jesus' name, I cast you." He didn't have a religious moment. He just shook the thing off, went on about his business. You know, there's no serpent that could destroy him because he was pursuing purpose. I believe that's what's keeping Glenn going. You know, I mean, he keeps on looking young and strong, and I'm sure he's still eating ice cream. Eh? Listen, and I have to say this about him. I remember years ago we were here, and it was around lunchtime and eating ice cream, and Irma said, she said, "Brother Boney, could you please pray for my husband? he eats too much ice cream." And Glenn laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. He says, "Go ahead. If you want to pray for me, pray for me." He says, "I'll just get seven times worse." I didn't pray for him. But yet, I remember being here at Lake Hamilton in some good years. I asked for some of the tapes of my ministry here back in the 1970s and around 1980, and I thank God that I've grown in God. But yet we have some excellent memories of things that God did here. Some of the most excellent worship that I remember was here. I particularly remember one meeting, and it was an unusual worship that took place, and in the midst of the worship, a lady began to sing here in tongues in an operatic voice. And suddenly, after she was finished, this other woman answered over here in operatic voice, now in English, bringing the interpretation, and there was this antiphonal and responsorial singing and worship that went on for a while, and it seemed as though the whole place just was permeated with the glory of God. And we had worship. We had worship. Glenn, I trust you folks still have some of that, but we had worship. I remember also that we were here in 1980, and I just had my son. My son was born over 10 weeks premature, and nobody, they said he wouldn't live, but I remember that God had told me, rejoice, you're going to have a son. So if God told me, rejoice, you're going to have a son, I'm not going to have a son and he die. But I remember we were here in the meeting in 1980, and I ministered the morning and afterwards, carrying my son, and I don't even remember who was the minister who came up to me. He says, your son has a curvature in his spine. And he says, I'm going to pray for him and God's going to heal him. God healed him then. My son will be 26, 27, next month. And he doesn't have any curvature in his spine. He's taller than his dad. And, you know, bless God for him, but God healed him of that right here in this place. And I thank God for the many things that he did here. And I understand that we're in a time of transition. Well, I don't want to run ahead of myself, but I believe God has a purpose for this weekend. I trust you came seeking the Lord, because God rewards seeking. As a matter of fact, the very act of seeking God is as important to God as that which you're seeking for. Let me say that again. Because God at times withdraws himself from us, not because there's something wrong, but because he wants us to seek after him. Because the very pursuit after God has its own reward. And I trust you came here in that attitude of seeking after God, because you'll seek him, and you'll find him when you search for him with all of your heart. Amen. And I trust you came in that attitude. I trust you came also expecting that God would encounter you. If you came expecting God to encounter you, I want you to know God never disappoints. Amen. Glenn, talk about that. As though a north and a blue a south. Well, by the grace of God, God has had us over the past 20 years, primarily in the nations, and God's doing a tremendous thing around the world. I'm leaving next week. We're ministering in Argentina. The week after that, we're going to Melbourne, Australia, where we'll be ministering, and there's a tremendous move of God taking place in Australia particularly. And it's not just a revival. I want you to know that I'm not after revival, because revivals don't last. You know, the preacher comes in and in his briefcase he brings a revival, and then after the meeting ends he puts a revival back in his briefcase and he goes, and everybody keeps praying for another revival. And there's some things that God killed that we are trying to revive. Don't pray for revival. Pray for restoration. Restoration lasts, revival does not. And it's our desire that God would do a restoration rather than a revival. But we see God doing a restoration in Australia and the islands north of Australia all the way up to Papua New Guinea. If you want to get a hold of some real new kingdom songs, They're writing some songs. I know in Australia they have, what's the name of that church in Australia? They have Hillsong, and Hillsong is a nice Pentecostal church. The Assemblies of God have a good hold over Australia, but in the islands north of Australia, in the Torres Strait there, there's some new kingdom songs that are coming forth, and I enjoy worshiping them. You can go there and minister a word, and 2 days later, one of the worship leaders would come with a fresh song from the word you ministered. Yeah. and I enjoyed it. On the whole, God has begun to do a work all around the Pacific, and we thank God for having a part of that. And we're seeing God work throughout the nations. Pray for us. One of my memories also of this place, Glenn, is that God has always told us that He's had people praying for us who don't know us. And I remember I think it was 1979, we were here ministering, and one morning after I ministered, a lady came up to my wife and me, and she said, "Well, thank God I finally met you." She said, "2 years ago the Lord showed me both of you in a vision, and God said that I was to pray for you every day." And she said, "While you were up there ministering to God, God says, there is the man that you've been praying for." And I thank God for that. God has told me that He has made covenant with the nations, that He would send me to them with the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Many times you go to a nation, and we have that same experience of people saying that we've been praying for you. God told me that He's made me a man of His earth, that I should travel by land, by sea, by air, to take the message of the kingdom to the nations. And it's my joy, because it's kingdom time in the nations. It's kingdom time. Amen. Now let's bow our heads in prayer. I got a word on my heart. I trust God gives me the grace to bring that word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for everyone who is here. Now, Father, we speak life unto your word and life through your word into the congregation. We ask, my God, that you'd open our ears, because the hearing ear and the seeing eye, you make them both. So open the ears and open the eyes, my God, that we may hear what you're saying. And thank you, Father, because your purpose is accomplished here. Not just tonight, but this entire weekend. And thank you, Lord, for everyone that you've brought, and even for others who are coming. And we give praise and honor and glory unto you for those things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I know you've heard many people talk about the fact that it's a new season. And whether you accept it, whether you agree with it or not, it is a new season. God has a purpose and a plan that is in effect in the nations, and there is nothing that you or I can do to stop it. There is nothing that any demonic spirit or the devil himself can do to stop it, because God has a plan, and God's plan is on schedule. It is God who determines the seasons. He doesn't wait for you to accept it before He does it. God changes seasons in line with His plan. And your part is whether you are in the present season of God or whether you are in the last season. Because, you know, there's so many people of God who are where God used to be. They're still celebrating what God used to do, rejoicing in the last move of God. Whereas God is going somewhere. God is moving forward, and there is a progressive unveiling of God Himself to man. I want you to lay hold on that. There's a progressive increasing unveiling of God to man. If the revelation you have is just a past revelation, you are not where God currently is, because God continues to reveal Himself. I often think Moses wanted to know God. And God says, "Okay, Moses, I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to pass by that you see my back parts. No, God is a spirit. Come on, God is a spirit. So how could Moses see God's backpacks? Are you there? What is it Moses saw that God called his backpacks? Let me give you the John Boney version, the John Boney opinion. Moses saw the creation. He saw the beginning of the works of God. He saw where God came from. He did not see much of the future, but he saw where God came from. He saw God's back path. That's why Moses could write about creation in much detail, because he saw the back paths of God. God is going somewhere, and there's a progressive unveiling of God to mankind. I want you to know that even when Jesus walked in the earth, Jesus walked the earth as a man, and Jesus walked in limitations. They'd ask Jesus, well, when is this going to happen? And Jesus says, I don't know. Today, if you ask a lot of preachers something, you know, preachers can't say, I don't know. Some of their pride have them, they can't say, I don't know. But Jesus could say, I don't know. Why? He walked in limitations while he was in the earth. But he said this, you know that, look in John chapter 5, verse 20. The Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father loves the Son, and the Father reveals himself to the Son. But he will show him greater things than these, that you may marvel. Now, I've come to understand something. Now, we speak of the Logos. The Logos is the written word. We speak of the Rhema. The Rhema is the spoken word. The Rhema is the sword that the Spirit uses. Well, you know, God's a God of threes. There's the Logos. There's the Rhema. Let me give you a third. There's the Oracle. Everybody say the Oracle. And, you know, there's the outer court, there's the holy place, and there's the holiest of holies. Now, the Logos is the outer court. The holy place is the Rhema. But then, when you look in 1 Kings, I want to give you this quickly in passing. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16, Solomon calls the most holy place, he calls it the Oracle. He calls it the Oracle. The word Oracle is from a Hebrew word, and literally it means the speaking place. Everybody say the speaking place. So you have the Logos, the Rhema, and the Oracle. That holiest of holies realm is called the speaking place. And you need to get this down in your spirit. Jesus said this. He says, the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things. Now the Son is seated right now at the right hand of the Father. And I wonder what is happening there between the Father and the Son. John 16. I'm going somewhere with this, so just stay with me. John 16 through verse 12. I have yet many things to show unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now let me ask you a question. To whom is the Holy Spirit listening in? It says, whatsoever he'll hear, that shall he speak. Let me tell you this. Right now, the Father is speaking to the Son. There are many things that the Father is revealing to the Son. Be there with me. Now, heaven is bud. You know what a bug is? Heaven is bud. The Holy Spirit sits in the corner, and he listens to the conversation between the Father and the Son. And the problem is, the Holy Spirit can't keep quiet. Whatsoever He hears, He speaks. Are you there? Do you want to know what is revelation? Revelation is not how many angels can dance on a pinhead. Revelation is what the Father is saying to the Son right now. That's what is revelation. Those things that the Father is speaking to the Son, because the holiest of holies is the speaking place. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, which must shortly come to pass. You want to know what this whole book of Revelation is? A conversation between the Father and the Son for our benefit. The Father was showing things to the Son, speaking to the Son. Now, you see, again, here's what's revelation. Revelation is the hearing of what the Father is speaking to the Son right now. That's what revelation is. It's hearing what's going on in the heavenlies. Are you with me? Now, I want you to get an understanding, because you can be where God used to be. Now, the scripture says, Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And you know, in the King James, and you know, I'm a King James man, all right? Don't be offended. In the King James, anytime you see S after word, it is present continuous. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that continues to proceed from the mouth of God. Okay, let's translate. There is no life in yesterday's word. Some of you might get a little troubled by that, but let me give you the context. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because this quotation in Matthew 4 comes right out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me begin in verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart. Can I just pause and say this? It says to humble you, to prove you, but to know what is in your heart. You know, does God need to know what's in your heart? God knows what's in your heart, but God wants you to know what's in your heart. That's the thing. God wants you to know what is in your heart. Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, does man live. Now get the story. Remember, in the wilderness, God fed them manna. Now there's one problem with manna. They didn't know what it was. You know what the word manna means? Manna means, what's this? Now, listen. Manna is angels' food. How many of you know that angels eat? Manna is angels' food. Now the angels eat it and live forever. They ate it and died. Are you there? If you don't know what you're eating, it won't benefit you. You hear me? They ate it and died. But there was a little problem with the manna. Listen. God put a principle of corruption in the manna. Even though the manna was supernatural food.
Lord Jesus, help me. Help me make this clear.
God put a principle of corruption in the manna. You know, you don't wake up one morning with your lazy spiritual self and say, I don't feel led to go out and gather manna today. Because I gathered some manna yesterday. I think I'm just, you know, I'm led of the Spirit to eat yesterday's manna. Now,
If you try to do that, before you got to the manna would get to you. Because the Bible said the manna would stink and would be full of worms. It was supernatural. But God put a principle of corruption in it. You there? That every day they had to go out to collect fresh manna. Because yesterday's manna, God didn't allow it to abide for today. You hearing me? Yesterday's word is good. Yesterday's revelation is good. But there's a principle of corruption in it. Let me say this to you, and I know it may shake some of you, and if it shakes some of you, wonderful, then that which is shaken is removed, okay? Some of the biggest idols that we have are things God gave us in the past. I'm coming home. If you are going to move on with God, you must know the difference between the temporary and the permanent. You must know the difference between those things God gives you for times and seasons and those things that are eternal. It is not everything that God gives you that is eternal. And if you're going to move on with God, you must be able to discern between them both. Are you all hearing me? I grew up and used to sing, "Give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. It's good for Paul and Silas. Hey, it ain't good enough for me." I want you to get this principle. Look at me in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Let me jump in verse 32. 2 Kings 17. I'm beginning in verse 32. It says, "So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, with sacrifices for them in the house of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the men of the nations whom they carried away from thence." Now, they had a temple, and in the temple on one side were things of worship to God, and on the other side were idols. It says they feared the Lord and they worshiped their own idols. As a matter of fact, after a while, God says the very next verse, verse 34, "They feared not the Lord." It's involving mixture. After a while, it would move you completely away from God. First they feared the Lord, but then ultimately they feared not the Lord. Verse 41, "These nations feared the Lord and served their graven images. Both their children and their children's children that did their father, so do they unto this day." They feared the Lord and served image. But can I show you that some of the idols that we have are things that God gave us? I want you to hear me. Things that God gave us for a season that we have not learned when the season is over. Chapter 18, 2 Kings. "Came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign." Sometimes God has to raise up youth, because the older ones are so steeped in their tradition, they can't let them go. God had to raise up a young man, 25 years old. Verse 3, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves." And look at the next statement. "And broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made." Now get the message. They were in the wilderness, sick. Moses went before God, and God gave them a brazen serpent. Anybody who is sick, take them outside, let them look at the serpent. When they see the serpent, they'd be healed. Aren't you thankful when God gives you something and it works? It works! Those who were sick
saw the serpent, and they got healed. We like things that work.
And after a while, you worship them.
My brazen serpent, I love you. You work. Nothing else works. You work. But no, they came out of the wilderness, and God brought them into the land. Saul was king. David was king. 400 years, 500 years.
You know what? They're still carrying around their brazen serpent. It doesn't work anymore.
There's no need for it because the brazen serpent was temporary, pointing ahead to Calvary. But they still held on to the temporary,
not having discernment as to what God was after.
And they did not realize,
hey, this is not working anymore. We don't need it anymore. But they kept on carrying around their brazen serpent and worshiping it.
This king, Hezekiah, he got a revelation from God. He got a revelation from God that this thing that God gave, this thing that Moses, God's servant, brought, was now idolatry. The thing is an idol, you don't throw it out. Somebody else will pick it up and worship it.
He did the one thing that you do with an idol. He ground it to powder. Some of your books that you had for some years ago, don't throw it out. Don't give it to your enemies. Have a bonfire. Send it up as a burnt offering to God.
And he called. He now called this brazen serpent. Look at the name he called it here. And he called it Nehushtan. Everybody say Nehushtan. Let me tell you what Nehushtan means. Nehushtan means a worthless piece of brass. Is anybody there? God gave it. It worked.
But now it was a worthless piece of brass. I wonder if you have any Nehushtans around you. Things that you're holding on, you know. You're trying to pump life back into it. In Jesus' name live, you know. My grandmother used to do the same. My grandfather used to do the same. In Jesus' name. But the season has gone for it. God has moved on from it. And we're in a new season. Somebody say, Lord.
Lord.
I didn't hear. Say,
Lord.
Show me my Nehushtans.
Show me my Nehushtans.
Hey, Brother Glenn, we need to have a deliverance service delivering the people of God from the Nehushtans.
Where God opens you, your ear, opens your eye, opens your understanding to realize the idols, the religious idols that you have.
Things that God gave, but they're now a big hindrance to what God is saying and what God is doing. Is anybody out there? Go on, say again.
Lord! Deliver me from
Nehushtan! Deliver me from
Nehushtan! Help your neighbor. I know you're all getting the word, but I see some of your neighbor look lost.
Say, neighbor!
God will deliver you!
From your Nehushtan! The word is powerful!
The word is mighty.
And nothing can hinder the word.
Well, hallelujah. It's getting warm in here.
If you are going to enter into the new season, you enter into it by receiving a new word. The same old word
won't bring you into the new season. But there needs to be a new word.
There needs to be fresh revelation. A hearing of what the Father is saying to the Son. Thus said the Lord, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church.
You don't get into the new season just by singing the new songs. It's in a word and in your response to the word. Very interestingly,
some people could already have entered
into the new season, but the majority be unaware of it.
You realize when Pentecost came that the 120 experienced it, and a lot of unsaved people experienced it, but the majority of the people of God never experienced it. They never even knew that it had taken place.
You'll listen to me.
Because you see, the last place God moved is always the place that resists the new move of God, especially when it's outside of them. Religion continued as normal. When you look in chapter 3 of Acts, here they had this lame man, lame from his mother's womb, and there's so many people in the house of God with spiritual birth defects. The type of word that they were born with has created defects in them. They're saved, sitting, and satisfied.
That's a spiritual birth defect.
Here's this lame man, and every day they would bring him to the gate of the temple. That temple was built on the ruin of Solomon's temple. It celebrated a past glorious day, but it had nothing to offer the man. And all they'd give him was money. But money didn't take care of him. Everybody saw he'd be outside there asking for money. Do you know there's some people? The multitudes, they camped right outside in the outer court realm. They don't even have the will or the means to enter in. They're born lame. Something's wrong. They believe that this is a sitting down place. They haven't heard the word of God, and they're not pressing to enter into all the things of God. They're sitting at the bus stop waiting to be carried away to heaven. Let me say to you, somebody's canceled the reservation. The bus isn't coming. That's a birth defect. If you get delivered and you can't walk in your deliverance and you just need to keep on coming back for deliverance for the same thing every 4 months, that's a birth defect. Get delivered! Stay delivered so you can minister deliverance. Nobody there could minister to this man. Everybody passed by, stretching out his hand for money. As though money would cure his problem. Until two men came by who had stepped beyond one season and had stepped into a new day in God. They had a fresh encounter with God. They had gone beyond the traditions. And they had experienced a different outpouring of the Spirit. The man stretched his hand out. Peter says, silver and gold, I don't have. I don't like that statement, but, let's go with it. Silver and gold, I don't have. But such as I have, O Jesus. Do you have what is needed to deliver the people who have been hindered by their spiritual birth defects? Such as I have, I give to you. I want you to know there's some people who have stepped beyond Pentecost. And they stepped into a new day in God, and they've experienced a fresh new encounter with God. They're living under open heavens, and they had received something from God. They have already tasted of the powers of the world to come. Such as I have!
You realize the multitudes of church people need to encounter a different type of ministry? The ministry that they have been under is part of their problem. Blind leaders of the blind, oh God, help us!
There must arise a new ministry from the house of
God. That's beyond that old ministry. That's just meeting people's needs at a certain level. It doesn't cure the problem.
But it's not money that you need. And listen to me. And I trust you don't get offended. And if you get offended, that's all right. There are two spirits that are parading themselves in the house of God. And you turn on television, and you hear the popular preachers preaching it. And it's two counterfeit spirits that have taken the attention of the people of God. Isaiah 65. You can read the whole passage, but I need to read to you. Verse 11, Isaiah 65, verse 11. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for troop, that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Somebody have an NIV translation that I can borrow a second? Listen to verse 11. But as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny. Is there anybody in church? Because these became two of the spirits that they celebrated. It was right the time before. You find that God said he'd do a whole new thing, making a new heaven and a new earth. What do you hear most of the messages on popular TV about right now? They preach about destiny and they preach about prosperity. I believe in prosperity, and I believe in this way. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes, Lord.
And some of the messages that they preach on destiny, the world can preach it better than the church. And I dare say those are two religious spirits that have captivated the church. And it's always half-truth. Are you all there? And by the way, I believe in prosperity, and I believe in that, but I believe it the right way. As your soul prospers, amen? You couldn't buy prosperity. You couldn't, you know. Well, let me leave that. All right.
Such as I have, give I unto thee.
Let me just drop this here in your, a little bee in your bonnet. The book of Ezekiel is the book concerning the restoration of the house of God. It ends up in chapter 48, and the place is called Jehovah Shema. The Lord is present, especially from chapter 40 and following. You can see the restoration of the house of God as people are taught the ways of the law. And in chapter 44, there's a separation among the priests. Chapter 47, there is a new anointing, a new river that you can't contain in church, but it flows out of the house and flows into the East Country. But it starts out in chapter 1 with a whole new ministry, a ministry of glory that the scripture calls the Son of Man. And wheresoever you see the glory, there's always this character about it. One of its faces is the face of a man. And let me just tell you there, that the glory that you see in Ezekiel, are men in the glory. Men in the glory. And you know that before Jesus returns, there must be men in the glory. Men who will walk the earth. Oh, Jesus. Once again, no longer naked, but clothed on with the glory of God. And the scripture calls him Son of Man. Son of Man. Son of Man. Can I tell you that the term Son of Man is a corporate term? It doesn't just speak of Jesus, but it's a corporate term that speaks of the ministry that comes to restore the house of God. Get ready. A new ministry is coming to church. You can't stop it. You can't change it. But there's a new ministry that's getting ready to invade the house of God. They were not prepared
in the Bible schools and seminaries. They were not made by men. Most of them had their encounter with a burning bush out in the wilderness somewhere.
But a new ministry is being released from the house of God in this new season. Are you with me? Such as I am. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Amazingly, next you see this man, and he has entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Their multitude bound up
in the religion that is in the outer court realm. And somebody needs to invade the outer court realm. And who have people who have enough audacity to say, such as I have.
Yes, John, who are you?
Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Who are you? He says, I am the voice of one. There are too many people now who are an echo. They're just parroting what everybody else is saying. They're an echo, but they're not a voice. If you want to be popular, just go preach what everybody else is saying. And you'll be popular, but it won't change anybody. There must be a voice raised up. Are you there with me? A new ministry will invade the house of God. There's nothing man can do to stop it. The heavenly watchers have already decreed it and demanded it. That a new ministry invade the house of God.
They don't need your approval. They don't need
you to make room for them. One thing with the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement was pervasive. God made it so that the charismatic movement invaded everywhere and nobody could stop it. Guess what? This message of the kingdom of God will be just the same. It's going to invade everywhere, and there is no devil in hell that can stop it. There is no denomination that can stop it. It will invade the house of God for a testimony. Yes, yes, yes. Get ready. The ark is coming down the road. When the ark comes, go ahead, bring the ark into the house of Dagon if you want.
He'll bow before no man or no idol.
When he comes to take over. Every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Church, you get ready. It's a new season.
Some of you have been propping up the old system for a long while, saying, well, God told me to stay here, and God told me. And most of the people who have done that, they have lost what little life that they had. And they're being good Jonathans.
Oh, Jesus.
Now listen to me. Jonathan knew what was the problem in Israel. Jonathan knew that Saul was the problem. Saul had anointing. He had position, but he had no character. He did not acknowledge his need for God. And Jonathan knew
that he was the problem.
Jonathan also knew
God was raising up a David.
Jonathan knew that Saul one moment operated under the anointing of the Spirit, the next moment operated under the anointing of an evil spirit. He was mixture. Sad to say, he continued on the throne for over 30 years. Jonathan knew it! Listen to me! Jonathan would leave and go out to the woods to worship with David. He enjoyed having church with David. And he said, David, I know you'll be king in Israel one day. And I'm going to be right by your side. I know I'm supposed to be king, but I sense that God wants you to be king. I know you'll be king, and I'll be right by your side. Listen to me. Except you leave Saul, you'll die with Saul. Turn and tell the person next to you, get delivered. It doesn't matter what revelation you have.
Well, I love to come to these camp meetings. Hallelujah. I get so blessed. But then you go right back to Saul's house. It doesn't matter. You say, I know this is what God's doing. Hallelujah. I'm a part of it. I'm here in spirit. Even though I'm not here in body. Excuse me. The body without the spirit is dead. We don't want your spirit here and your body somewhere else.
If you don't leave the house of Saul, you will die with Saul,
and you'll never be a part of David's kingdom.
Oh, am I making myself clear? You've compromised so long and tried to walk both pathways. Tell your neighbor the time for compromise is over. You see, when I was born, they let me, the Lord, they're nice to me.
It's time to leave and cleave. You hear me? It's time to leave. In this new season, if you continue walking with Saul, have you read Jeremiah 50 and Jeremiah 51? Flee Babylon, every man save his own soul. Babylon was once a golden cup in God's hands. But flee Babylon. Listen to me. It's no longer time to be a Bapticostal. Can't have divided loyalties. You can't go on in the new season in God, whereas you sleep in that old season. Grew up and used to sing it, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. Though none go with me, still I will fall. Though none go with me, still I will fall. Sorry, don't go yet. Though none go with me, still I will fall. No turning back. What good is your revelation if the revelation does not bring transformation? What good is it? Because real revelation of what God is doing demands that you cut ties with the old. You can't have two masters. You can't walk both ways. Saul has been rejected by God and will never be the future. Thankfully, I don't have a church in this area or wherever you are. So you can't say, I'm trying to get you to come to my church. This is the hour in which a whole company of people are hearing the word of the Lord. And they've begun to see the season in which we are. As the people of Issachar know the times, know the seasons, and what God's people ought to do. And they've come to realize it's no longer any good making an idol out of your past word. And even your past relationships. Because I love these people here, you see. And God wants me here with these people. Flee Babylon. And save your own soul.
Hey, I got news for you. There's a new movement that's taking place in the kingdom of God. And their church is changing. In an awesome way by the Spirit of God. There's a freshness of the Spirit of God. It's no longer the same old, same old.
You see, if you are going to go on with God, you must receive the grace of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
You know Isaiah 43, verse 18?
Remember ye not the former thing? Neither ponder the things of old. Listen! All he remembers is the past and how it used to be, or some past word that you had from God 99 years ago. Remember not.
And by the way, that's a command.
Neither ponder the things of old. You know why?
The old is the biggest enemy of the new. My mother used to sing, come go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land where I'm bound. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus, several of you that God brought here because he wants to cut that umbilical cord that ties you to the past. I mean, you've been born so long, but your navel string still tied to that system in which you were birthed, and you think you need that for your life, and you can't sustain your life. Hey, listen, baby! You must have that umbilical cord cut. There's no way you're going to grow up still being tied to the old. Eve, tell somebody next to you there's a word of deliverance here.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God, somebody. I hear the word of the Lord in this place here tonight.
My sense the Spirit of God is already doing some surgical operation because it's a new season. If you hold on to the old, you could never experience the new because God does not allow you to mix the old and the new. You cannot have them both.
Get a hold of the word. Because if you try to take the new wine and put it in the old wineskins, both are lost. God does not like mixture.
And you'll have the one or the other. Somebody's gonna hear this word tonight. The Spirit of God is going to do an operation in your soul so that your soul ties are cut and that you could begin to step out of the old and step into the new season. And it's more than just a song. It's a whole new experience. Father, I thank you that you walk in the midst of the candlesticks. Holy God, I thank you that you brought this congregation here and you have an awesome purpose for us here. I thank you that the word is sufficient and the word accomplishes the purpose that you sent it for. Your word nullifies the excuses and the reasonings of men's minds. Your word cancels, my God, covenants made in the flesh and covenants that hinder your purpose. Your Spirit, my God, breaks yokes. And your Spirit, my God, separates, oh God. And your people experience a new birth.
God, I thank you for this new season. I thank you for this new day. Thank you for every life here in this building and for those that you've made special appointment with, my God. Lord, may your people be willing in this the day of your power. May your people respond and volunteer freely. And may that which you purpose be accomplished. Lord, the excuses and the arguments of the mind, we cast them down now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we destroy those strongholds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Listen to me a moment, please. There's an individual here in this meeting, and the thing is, you know that it's in a calling of God upon your life, and God has made demands on you time and time again. But to a certain extent, you wanted the approval of the place and the people with where you've been. And so instead of fulfilling the demands of God, you have been held back. God says, tonight, take the step. And God says, he will meet you and he'll take care of the details. I feel God wants a response to this message. This is not a time for any Nicodemuses to come secretly by night. It's a time for response. Now, it's a new season, and if God has spoken to your heart, and especially God's telling you, cut loose of the restraints, the thing you have been trying to do something for God that God hasn't asked you to do for him. And God says those things have become an idol and they're standing between you and God. Now, God speak to your heart. Let's make this place here, for just a few minutes, let's make this place here a Bethel. And sanctify this place here. A Bethel is not so much that somebody is going to pray for you or pray with you, that you're going to come and in this holy place here you'll meet with God. Let this be your Bethel, your meeting place with God. We sanctify the spot right here for you meet with God. If God's speaking to your heart, I don't sing 19 verses of Just As I Am without 1-3, and you know, get God speaks to your heart. Come on, let's just spend a moment with God. Come on.
Sir.
Holy Parasoste.
Shilamori Kasuntara. Banyehistu Kurosia.
Jandalavasatu. Yes, you folks, yes, come on. Take this here and make this a place where you're meeting with God. I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence there's fullness of joy.
There is nothing, there is no one
to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. I will come and bow. This fullness of joy, there is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home.